Okay, let us begin learning Torah together. Daf Ches is today's daf, and we are in the middle. We're on the Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara just quoted. Let's start again from the second to last skinny line. Amar Abaya. The Gemara just quoted a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Remember, the Gemara was talking about the machlokas Tuma Hutra and Dechuya Betzibur. So we had a machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, whether Tuma is Hutra and Dechuya Betzibur, or Tuma is Hutra or Dechuya, whether it's totally hutard, or it is there but it's just pushed aside, and you're allowed to do the avoda even though the Tuma is there. That was a machlokas Amoraim. Then the Gemara said, maybe it's a machlokas Tanor, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And they brought this machlokas down between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon says that the tzitz, the special one of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, is meratze, even when it's not on the Kohen Gadol's forehead. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only if it's on the Kohen Gadol's forehead. Says Rabbi Shimon, what do you mean? It must be even when it's not on the Kohen Gadol's forehead. What's my raya? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, he doesn't wear it when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, and yet it still is Maratza. Says Rabbi Yehuda back to him, no, you don't need the tzitz to be Maratza in that case. You know why? Because Tuma Hutra Betzibur. So you don't need the tzitz to be Maratza. So what must be Reb Shimon's Svara? The fact that he used that as a Raya, it must be the Reb Shimon holds, no, Tuma Dechuya Betzibur. And therefore you need the tzitz to be Maratza. The fact that it's Maratza even when it's not on his forehead is a Raya, that you don't need it to be on his forehead to be Maratza. And then what the Gemara just said was that everybody would agree. Amar Abai, what we're up to is Benishbar Atzitz Tuliabalo Pligi Dilam Maratza. Everybody would agree that if the tzitz is broken, let's say it doesn't mean just like the metal part is broken, but even the strings that hold the tzitz on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, that long Rashi Ala Torah, Parashat Tesava, which describes how the strings went. Oh, there were three. There was two from the sides, one from the top. How it was tied. It's whole long Rashi. How he figures out the psukim, how the strings were tied. But if the tzitz was those strings, or the tzitz itself was broken at all, even Rav Shimon would agree that it's not maratza. We'll talk about that a little more later today. Ki pligi detali besichsa. The machlokas between them is when it's there, but it's just not on him. It's hanging on a peg. Rabbi Yehuda savar, and it's based on psukim. Rabbi Yehuda savar al meitzach v'nasa. Rabbi Yehuda says, based on the psukim, it says on his forehead, and then he will carry the sin. So that smichas apsukim teaches me that it has to be on his forehead. Rib Shimon Savar, no. Tamid Laratzon Levnei Hashem. Rib Shimon says, no, it's Tamid. It has to be always Laratzon. So my Tamid, says Rib Shimon. What does it mean always? Ilema Tamid al Mitzcho. If it's that it always has to be on his forehead, Mimishkachas La. Is that true? It's always on his forehead? Milo Boy Meal Abesa Kisei, Milo Boy Meinam. Doesn't he take a sleep at all? Doesn't he go to the bathroom at all? Right, similar to our tefillin. Right, we have to take off our tefillin. Even when we're davening, we only wear tefillin only for an hour a day. The olden days, they wore them longer. We only wear them for an hour a day, but still we take them off for certain, if we need to, if either of these come up. So too says Rabbi Shimon. So Tamid can't be referring to when it's worn. So Tamid must be referring to its capacity of ritzui, not the mitzias of when it's worn. Ela tamid maratzahu. It must be that tamid is going on when it is maratzah. Fine. And then we have the Ritva at the end of yesterday's shiur, quoting Rabbi Nutam, that says that why did the Gemara quote that? Why did the Gemara only quote the examples of maybe he'll be sleeping, maybe he'll go to the bathroom? Why didn't the Gemara quote maybe he'll go out of the Beis Hamikdash? Haraya, says Rabbi Nutam, that the Kohen Gadol is a ladder where the tzitz outside the Beis Hamikdash. That was his raya. He quotes the Gemara from Kiddushin, Yanei HaMelech, that he used to wear the tzitz outside. Rabban and Rovi Shonim argue with this Rabbi Nutam. They told him, no, you can't wear the tzitz outside. The tzitz might be the most special beged. What do you mean? Only the tzitz you're allowed to wear out might be the most special beged. So that's what they say. No, the Gemara is talking about Mikdash here. You're right, the Gemara could have given that example. But Lav Dafka, that this is a riot. So that's a machlokas. Hopefully one day we'll come back to as well. Rabbeinu Tam versus other Rishonim, the uniqueness of the tzitz. Says the Gemara now, what do each of these Tanoim do with the other ones, psukim? So says the Gemara, yeah.
Could the Kohen Gadol go to the bathroom with the other
begadim? I don't think so. Because of Kedusha. Right. Right, not just Shem Hashem, but it's Kedusha. Meikir, I don't think so. I mean, Meikir Hadin, like we Paskin, for example, by Tashmishe Kedusha, you can. For example, Talus. Meikir Hadin, you can wear your Talus into the bathroom. Our Minog gets to take off after we wear our sisters into the bathroom. What's the difference between Tzitzis and Talus? Talus Gadol, Talus Katan. They're both a mitzvah. So our Minog gets to take it off, cover the Talus. Can't take off your tzitzis every time you go to the bathroom. It will be somewhat difficult. So, but our minog is to take off our towels. Our minog is to take off our kittel. Or if somebody wears a gartel. So the minog, I think, is to take off the gartel. Why? Because those are miyuchat for tefillah. Those are, but I think that's minhag. That's not meikar hadin. But the big adam of the kohen, the big day kahuna, I think might have more inherent kedusha. It's still, they're still tashmishi mitzvah. They're not tashmishi kedusha, but they're not connected to ksav Torah. But I'm not sure 100%. I'm not sure. We'll have to look it up. Could the kohen gadol wear the other begadim into a makam etunef? I'm not sure. But at least the gemara here says not. This is because it says the askara on it. I'm not sure. Okay, says the Gemara, Ulur Bihuda Nami, third to last line, Haksiv Tamid. What does a Bihuda do with the Tamid? Rav Shimon used Tamid to say it's always Maratza, even when it's not on the forehead. So what does a Bihuda do with the word Tamid? Hahu Tamid, Shalo Yasiach Daitamimenu. That Tamid is teaching me that the Kohen Gadol cannot have a Hesach Hadas. He cannot think about other things when he's wearing the tzitz. Not that the tzitz is always maratze, but he always has to have his mind clear when he is wearing the tzitz. Kid the Rabba Bar Rav Huna, like Rabba Bar Rav Huna says about tefillin. D'amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, chayev adam l'mashpeish b'tefilah v'chol shah v'shah, kal v'chomer mitzitz. A person has to constantly touch his tefillin, b'chol shah v'shah, kal v'chomer mitzitz. A kal v'chomer from the tzitz. Why? Not just Shema. Our minhag is at certain times, but even, says Rabbi Arfuna, it seems to be more than that. Not just during Shema, but every once in a while. Why is this? Continue. Umatzitz she'en bo ela askara achas. If, for the tzitz, which only has Shem Hashem once, one askara, Amra Torah al mitzcho tamid, shelo yasiach daitmi menu, the Torah says by the tzitz, tamid, you always can't lose concentration, and you can't be have a hesach adas. That's by the tzitz. So tefillin, kal vachomer by tefillin, sheish bar askaras harbe, tefillin has many shemos of Hashem in it, alachas kama vakama. Surely, you should always have to constantly have it in mind, and therefore, you should every once in a while be mamashmesh in your tefillin. So that's the kal vachomer from the tzitz to the tefillin. I once heard b'shem, I think Rav Shachter quoted b'shem the Rav, b'shem Rav Salvechik, let's say you walk into a room, and all of a sudden you see there are two things on the floor in front of you. You see your tefillin on the floor, and you see the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol on the floor. Which do you pick up first? So your knee-jerk reaction would be, the tzitz, the Kohen Gadol, the tzitz! How could you, of course, the tzitz, the Kohen Gadol, this brings kapara on Yom Kippur! So the Rav said, no, you have to pick up the tefillin first. The tefillin has many more shemos of Hashem. This is the tzitz of the, no, the tefillin, what does the Gemara say here? It's a kal vachomer. So that's what I always heard from Shem. I heard a couple of times from Shem the Rav. They feel the tefillin as more kedusha. Yet if you look at Tosfos, it's not so clear. It seems the top Tosfos doesn't like the kal vachomer. The top Tosfos says umatzis shein bo askara achas. Tosfos says, how can you compare the two? The shame of Hashem of the tzitz is on the outside. It's megula. All the shemos of tefillin are on the inside. So maybe you should have to have more. Linyan Hesach Hadas Tosfos says, how can you have this kal vachomer? Look at the top Tosfos. Temelei lifrach malatitz shekein Hashem ubegalui. Tomar betfilin sheim mechuben ba'ar. The shemos of tefillin are inside. So according to that kasha, and Tosfos doesn't really answer, he answers the kasha with an inachinami. So according to this kasha, maybe the tzitz has more kedusha in a certain sense. But continue, and then he says, ve'ein latarit, and don't answer me, says Tosfos, that tefillin also has a shem Hashem on the outside. Where the hakanami ksiv shakai betfillin. We know we have a shin on the outside of the tefillin, and we have a dalid in the back of our heads. The knot is either one dalid or a double dalid, depending on the minog. And then the yud is the knot on the outside of the tefillin box of the shel yad. So maybe you do have shem Hashem outside by tefillin too. Says Tosfos, no, those aren't really shemos of Hashem. Chada de'inzek ksav gomer. That's not real ksav. The dafka shin shel tefillin alach Moshe b'Sinai. Find the shin on the box. That's a real ksav. But the dalin and the yun of the rutsuos, of the straps, that's symbolic letters. Those aren't real ksav. The alvo dalin v'yud, lo. That's why the Noda Behuda says, by the way, sometimes you could undo those knots. Because it's not real ksav. It's not mechikas Hashem. It's not the erasing Hashem's name. What if you have to loosen it for some reason? Or if you have to change the knot for some reason? So you're allowed to do that. You're being mochik shem Hashem shakai? No. Says Tosfos. It's not ksav gomor. It's not real ksav, so it's not a problem. So Tosfos says, don't tell me the tefillin has a revealed name. So Tosfos is back to the kasha. So the tzitz is megulas. How can you compare the two? Tosfos answers, you're right. Second skinny line, v'nerali de'ino kavachomer midaraisa el drabanan. You're right. It's only a drabanan asmachta kavachomer. It's not a real kavachomer. But lomaskana, it seems like, that the tzitz might have more kedusha in a certain sense. The Sfasemas on the Tosfos doesn't even like the question. He says, what difference does it make in terms of hesach hadas between Megula and Mechusa? When does it make a difference if Hashem's name is revealed or not? That makes a difference if you go to the bathroom. You can't wear, let's say, you can't bring a Darvash HaBikdusha into the bathroom unless it's double covered. We have it in Maseches Brachas. If it's a Tik Besoch HaTik, let's say you're on a trip and you have your tefillin in your knapsack, so then how do you go with it? Do you have to leave your knapsack outside? Let's say you have nobody to wash it. You don't want it to be taken. It's a chayfas chashud. You think you're worried they're going to take the knapsack. So what do? You put it into a bag and put it into your knapsack. So it's a double cut. So regarding going into a makom metuna, a place that doesn't have kedusha, so then that makes a difference between the revealed and not revealed. But he asked the Sfas Emes HaTosfos and he doesn't answer it. He just asked the question. He says, I don't know why it should make a difference in terms of having hesach hadas in terms of a revealed name or not a revealed name. But Tosis assumes that way. Tosis assumes that it makes a difference even in terms of Hesach Hadas. Okay, that's just an important Tosis for the comparison between Sis and Tefillin and the important terms of Ksav. What's called Ksav Gomer? Only actual writing is called Ksav, and in terms of Michikas Hashem. But if it's just in the knots, maybe it's not called Ksav Gomer. It also relates to, let's say, you have a shear on a tape. What about being Mochik, let's say you have laning on a tape. Let's say you have even different Torah on a cassette tape. So what about erasing that tape? Is that mechikas Hashem? The post can discuss it. That generally we're mako if you do it, if you're putting on another shear or some other maker adin, but it would be okay. But this tosfos also plays a role in that because it's not ksav gamur. And only ksav gamur has certain halachos apply to it. Sorry? Right, so lechari you don't have to put it in Shemus. Because meikar adin is not called ksav gamur, like this tosfos says. Sorry. So lechari, meikar adin, you can. Can you listen to it in the bathroom? Probably not a good idea. You're not supposed to think about holy things in the bathroom. But, yeah.
Why did Kalachor force you to do mishmush? Why does it just force you to make sure you have
Hesach Hadas? So the Gemara, good question. Why does Kalachor force you to do mishmush? The Gemara is assuming that mishmush is what helps you not have Hesach Hadas. If you're constantly touching the tzitz, that's what helps you not have Hesach Hadas. There is another reason quoted in Hilchas Tefillin, another reason why we should once in a while check our tefillin to make sure it's in the right spot. That's another reason why that it says to be a mashmish. Not to go overboard. We shouldn't be there the whole davening, not being able to concentrate on davening, constantly working on our tefillin. You know, there's a chazal. You put it there once in a while. That's why Yoni asked before, there are minhagim, to touch our tefillin throughout davening. That's part of this idea of mishmush, that we touch it during Shema, during some do it by Yichavod, Yisbuchah Shemayim. The various minhagim, to touch the tefillin, that's part of this mishmush. One that doesn't have to go overboard and be focused on the tefillin so much that they can't daven. Okay, one other discussion on this line of the Gemara. Again, the Gemara says that a person is not allowed to. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with the pasuk of Talmud? That you always have to make sure that you don't have a hesach hadas, just like a tzitz with one shem Hashem, kal v'chomer tefillin with many shemos of Hashem. What exactly is hesach hadas when it comes to tefillin? Halacha l'maisa. A lot of times we're thinking about other things when we have our tefillin on. That's part of the reason why we don't wear tefillin all day today. Because we have so much trouble focusing our thoughts, so at least let us do it for 45 minutes to an hour. More than that would be even more difficult. That's also part of the reason why women, the Shulchan Aruch says women should not wear tefillin. Even though tefillin, women are paturos from, because it's a mitzvah aseh shezman grama, and generally women can do mitzvah aseh shezman grama if they want to. Women can shake a lulav, women can hear shofar, women, it's praiseworthy for them to do all these mitzvahs, and they can even make a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch says tefillin and tzitzis women shouldn't do, even though it's a zman grama. Tzitzis has their own reason, why not? But tefillin, why not tefillin? So the poskim suggests one of the reasons is that it's already hard enough for men to wear tefillin and keep their thoughts and body clean, right? Meikar HaDin, we should wear it all day, but we don't because it's so hard for us. But we have to wear it for an hour because it's a chiyuv. We can't get out of that chiyuv. But to put ourselves, if somebody is putter, and to put ourselves into that challenging position where if somebody's putter, why take chances? Why take the risk of being mezalzel in the tefillin that we don't support? If somebody has a chiyuv, men don't have a choice. Wrapping ourselves with tefillin, we're putting the Shem Hashem on our bodies. That's something that is very, it's a privilege, but it's an achrayus. And if somebody doesn't have to put themselves into this risky position, so the poskim say it's better not to. That's one of the reasons why the poskim say women should not wear tefillin, even though it's a mitzvah aseh shezman grama. That's one of the other reasons are given, but that's one. So anyway, in terms of hesach hadas, tzitzis is another reason why that's related to beged ish. Past thousands of years, men have taken it upon themselves, and now it has a status of beged ish. That's a Targum Yonos of Menuzio. In Pashas Kiseitse, he says, Lo yulbash gever simlas isha, he quotes tefillin v'tzitzis on that pasuk. Again, there are other reasons by each one, but that's one reason for each. So what exactly is Hesach Hadas? So there's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. based on a brisa in Maseches Sukkah. In Maseches Sukkah, the brisa says that you're allowed to sleep a Shenas Arai in tefillin. Shenas Arai meaning like a little doze. You're sitting in a little doze, but not a Shenas Keva. Why not a Shenas Keva? Shema Yafiach Behem. Maybe a person will emit a Ruach Ra when he's wearing his tefillin, which is not allowed, so therefore you can't sleep in your tefillin. So ask the Rishonim, Shenas Arai, you're semi there, you're a little dozing, but what about Hesach Hadas? So fine, we're not worried about Shema Yafiach Behem. But maybe, what about, you're not thinking about your tefillin when you're a little dozing. Sometimes you see in shul, somebody during Chazaras HaShatz, right? Somebody's like, they had a tough night the night before. So we generally try to walk by them and give them a little knock to make sure they're up. We're not supposed to, but the mikra, then you're allowed to sleep Shenas Arai. So why? What about Hesach Hadas? So the two answers. Number one, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Maseches Brachos. We discussed this 4 a.m. in Shavuos a couple years ago. We spoke about, could a sleeping person do mitzvos? Be Mekai mitzvos. So here, this Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'yesh l'shol, afilu Shenas Arai heichmutu, v'alo asur l'asiach daito mehem, u'b'shashim misnam neim, your misiach das. Says the Ram, says Rabbeinu Moshe, quoted by Rabbeinu Yonah, not the Rambam, V'vadai hesach hadas lo havi ala kishomid b'kalus roshu b'schok. Hesach Hadas is levity. It's negative thoughts, specifically like levity and a Kalos Rosh. Not neutral, just not thinking about anything. That's not Hesach Hadas. That's not the best, but that's not Hesach Hadas. Avok Shomid Biyira, Umis Asik Bitzrachov. They ain't, for example, let's say you wore tefillin when you're busy doing work. So in the olden days, they wore tefillin throughout the day. But that's not called a Hesach Hadas, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Because it's only when you think of Kalos Rosh thoughts, that's when it's a problem. When you're sleeping sometimes, when you're dozing, it's better than when we're awake and thinking of the other things we think about. The Narishkeit that we always think about when we're dozing, we're not thinking about anything, that neutral state is even better. That's not a violation of Hesach Hadas. So therefore he said this, okay. That's Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos, Yudalat Amabez in the Daf HaRif. The Ritva on that Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chavav has another answer, and then we'll move on. Ritva says, no, maybe the only problem of Hesach Hadas is when you're up. When you're up and you're not using your faculties to what you can be using them for, that's Hesach Hadas. By shaking, by sleeping, you can't do more. That's a problem. It's like the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. It's shown if you're learning, you're in the middle, you have potential to be learning, and then you stop and look at the tree. That's why it's a problem. Stop looking at the tree is not a problem. Here too, if you have the potential, you're up, that's when Hesach Hadas is a problem. So there's different requirements. What exactly is Hesach Hadas? So we try not to sleep even Shenas Arai in the tefillin because it might lead to Shenas Keva, but that's just Hachalach L'maisa. Okay, so now we move on. So said the Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda uses Rabbi Shimon's Pasuk of Tamid to teach me that you can't have a Hesach Hadas. You always have to prevent yourself from having a Hesach Hadas. Ula Rabbi Shimon, fourth line, De Amar Tamid Maratzeh, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that the word Tamid is teaching me that it's Maratzeh even when it's not on the Kohen Gadol's forehead. V'haksev al mitzcho v'naso. What does he do with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk, where Rabbi Yehuda learns from the smichas apsukim that it has to be on the forehead? What does he use that pasuk for? Hahu likvalo makamuda asa. No, Rabbi Shimon uses that pasuk of al mitzcho v'naso to teach me where exactly it has to be on the Kohen Gadol. Where does this have to be? So it has to be al mitzcho on the forehead. Where exactly on the forehead? So if you look in Rashi al Torah, Parshas Tetzaveh, Rashi says, Mamish on the forehead, under the Makom HaTfilin. That's what Rashi says. Tfilin is on top, the Kohen Gadol also has Tfilin, Pashtus, and the Tzitz is underneath that. And so right under, the Tfilin has to be, this is a very important halacha l'maaseh also, has to be above the hairline, or where the hairline is supposed to be, where the hairline was. That's where the entire box of the Tfilin has to be, where above the hairline. So sometimes the Tfilin, especially after we get a haircut. If we get a haircut, sometimes our tefillin slide down a little bit. The knot is low and the box is low, to make sure we have to tighten it then a little bit. Because, after you tighten it, sometimes you feel like it's going to fall off. But really, it should be tightened, because the whole entire box of the tefillin has to be above where the hairline should be, or where the hairline is. And the tzitz is under that, says Rashi. What kind of mechitza? It's not underneath between the box of tefillin and your skin. It's underneath lower down, let's say. It's a better way. Lower down on the forehead. right? It's over here, and the tefillin's above here, right? So it's not a chatzit. They're both on top of the skin slash hair of the Kohen Gadol. That's what Rashi says. So benayav sohaluk v'lamokah. That's what he uses the pasuk for. There's an interesting question I saw in the Mikdash David that the Mishnah says in Sota that the Kohen during Nisias Kapayim, right? Was a any Kohanim here? During Nisias Kapayim, right? The Kohanim lift up their hands, and how high do they keep their hands? So the Mishnah says in Sota, a Kohen Gadol has to make sure not to lift up his hands above his forehead, because it can't be higher than the tzitz, which says Kodesh Lashem on it. The other Kohanim, the Kohen Hedyot, they can lift their hands like this, but a Kohen Gadol has to keep his hand like this, straight across, because it can't be above the tzitz. Ask the Mikdash David, how could the Kohen Gadol be b'mashmesh b'tfilov? How could he touch his tefillin? How could he put on his tefillin? Could the tefillin are above the tzitz? So he asks, he says, Kasha for the Mishnah Sota. How does he do that? Mikdash David asks that Tzarech Iyan. So he puts it on first, but he has to be b'mashmesh b'tfilov, b'chol shah b'shah. Even after it's on, he has to make sure it's in the right place. He has to constantly, can't have a hesach hadas. We just learned that. Kavachor for the tzitz, he can't have a hesach hadas. Kasha. Says the shol umeshiv, nothing sin. Another kasha, and then it'll answer both kashas, which is a chiddush. Another kasha. There's a ravid in Hilchas Para Aduma, it's in Sefer Tara. The ravid says, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to do anything else when the Kohen Gadol is being osik, when the Kohen is being osik in the Para Aduma, filling up the water and the ashes, he can't be doing anything else with his other hands. Right? If he's filling up the water with his right hand, he can't like be doing something else with his left hand. Why not? So the Rambam quotes that that's called doing malacha with the water. The water, you're not allowed to do any malacha with the water. So that's why that's called doing malacha. Says the Ravid there, it's an important Ravid, that no, it's because of Hesach Hadas. Says the Ravid, it's impossible to concentrate on two things at once. That's the sheet of the, that's what the Ravid says. Read you his Lashon. Klalo shal davar, ein adam yochol l'chavein daito l'shnei dvarim ke'echad. O l'shnei b'nei adam ke'echad nifardu b'maseyim. You can't talk to two people at once. You ever on the phone at the same time with two different people? Basically, you can't talk to either of them because your mind is in two places at the same time. You're not giving either of them the proper covet. You can't do two things at once, says the Ravid. That's why you can't fill up, do something else, because and therefore, why can't you fill something else up with your other hands while you're filling up the Parah Duma? Hesach Hadas. Says the Ravid. You can't concentrate on two things at once, says the Sholom Meshiv. So if you have to have Kavanah for the tzitz and for the tefillin, how can you wear both? You can't have Kavanah for both, the tzitz and the tefillin. So how does the Kohen Gadol do it? Says the Sholom Meshiv, to answer both kashas, the Kohen Gadol did not wear tefillin when he wore the tzitz. It's a chiddush. It's against everybody else. It says the Sholom Meshiv, because of these two kashas, how could he lift his hands on the tefillin? How could he put his hands above the tzitz? And what about that ravid in Para? Says the Sholom Meshiv, the Kohen Gadol, when he wore the tzitz, did not wear tefillin. That's his chiddush. Again, most disagree, but that is his suggestion. How do you put on the mitznefes? Right? So the mitznefes has to be even above that. So how does he put on the mitznefes if the tzitz is there? So the mitznefes could have been put on beforehand. You put on the mitznefes, yeah, the tzitz was put on last. Out of the eight pagadah, you put on the mitznefes, and then you put the tzitz on, the tzitz goes in front, and then you tie it in the back. So that's skukasha. The mitznefes was, though, put on earlier. Continuing the Gemara. So we just explained what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon do with each other's psukim. So now we continue. Rabbi Shimon. Where are we? Rabbi Yehuda, likvalo makominale. How does Rabbi Yehuda know where to put the tefillin? Nafgalei me'al mitzcho. So he learns it from, not the smichas of psukim, just from that word, on the forehead. He learns it to put it on the forehead. Rabbi Shimon nami typically me'al mitzcho. Why does Rabbi Shimon learn it from al mitzcho? And where is it? Nachinami, you're right. Maybe he learns it from al mitzcho. Ella al mitzcho benasa my abedle. So if it's true, go back to the question. What does he do with Rabbi Yehuda smichas apsukim? Amar lacha. So what does he learn? What does he use on mitzvah v'nasa? Roi lemeitzach meratze. She'ena roi lemeitzach ena meratze. He learns, Rabbi Shimon learns, that the tzitz has to at least be fit to go on the forehead, even though it doesn't have to actually go on the forehead. La'afuki nishbar atzitz delo meratze. Excluding, let's say, where the tzitz is broken, where the strings are broken, where it can't go on the forehead, so then Rabbi Shimon would agree that that's not allowed. The tzitz has to at least be fit to go on the forehead. Right? This is the concept, the Maritz Chayis here quotes, this is one of the sources for the concept of din of Reb Zera, kol roi labila bila ma'keves, kol she'ein roi labila ein bila ma'keves. Many times in halacha, you require the potential for something, even though you don't actually require the actual act occurring. The example that we always talk about is by mikvah. Say, when we go to the mikvah, when a woman goes to the mikvah, she has to make sure that there's no food in her teeth, she has to make sure she takes her contact lenses out, l'chadchila, she has to make sure there's no chatzitzes inside her mouth, inside her eyes, She doesn't have to keep her mouth open when she goes to the mikvah. Water doesn't have to get into her mouth. Water doesn't have to get into her eyes. What's the answer? Kol haroi. It has to be roi to get into her mouth, even though water doesn't have to get into her mouth specifically. That's the concept of roi. Comes up from, the source of it is about the menachas, the flour and the oil when it comes to a carbon mincha, but that's the concept. Something has to be roi, the potential, even though you don't need the actual. So that's exactly what's going on here. Reb Shimon says it has to be have the potential to go on the forehead, and even though it does not have to go on the forehead itself. The Rishash here asks an interesting question. The Rishash says, what about on Yom Kippur? What's Reb Shimon's Haraya? Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear it in the Kodesh Kodashim, so Haraya is Marata even when it's not on the forehead. But Yom Kippur, asks the Rishash, it's not called Haroi. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to put it on halachically in the Kodesh Kodashim. So maybe it's a violation of potential. Ask the Rishash, isn't potential, not only if it's broken, is it excluded, but maybe even if the Kohen Gadol is in a place where he can't wear the tzitz, isn't that also a violation of Kol Haroi Labila or Kol Haroi Alios Al Mitzcho? That's the Rishash's kashas. What must the answer be? And he says this himself. Yisrael, what do you think the answer is? Exactly. Says the Rishash, the only problem is if it's Mitzias can't go on. If the Torah tells you not to, you can't say that's a problem. The Torah tells you not to put it on, that's not going to be a problem. The tzitz has no problem. It's a gavra. The gavra can't put it on. But that's not a problem of kol haroi labila. The gam roi lekohen, and he says maybe it's roi also if the kohen gadol gets an urim tumim question. So it'll be roi. He'll have to put it on even on Yom Kippur at that time. Either way, that's the Rishash's ha'ara. Okay. We continue. Rabbi Yehuda Nishbar says, "How does Rabbi Yehuda know that if the tzitz is broken, that it's not maratze? Nafgalei, maybe if you put it on and it's broken, that it's not maratze, because either the avi has to be on. Nafgalei, meitzach mitzcho, from the extra word mitzcho. Reb Shimon, meitzach mitzcho lo mashvalei. Period. So this is all was a discussion of Reb Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So some Rishonim asked that. Meaning once he learns that it has to be on, so surely if it's broken. That's why I said maybe if it's on when it's broken. If he puts it on even when it's broken, so then, but you're right, you might just say it's a svar, you know, if it's not called the tzitz if it's broken. But in a chinami, the Rishonim deal with that. How could you put it on? Why do you need a limud for that? Okay, so this was one discussion of a machlokas tanoim about tumah and hutra. Now the Gemara quotes, maybe there's another machlokas tanoim which relates to hutra and dechuya. Neima hani tanoi kahani tanoi. Maybe the previous tanoim also hold like the following tanoim. Titanya, as the brisa says, we had this brisa of some of it earlier. Echadze vechadze, regarding the kohen gadol before Yom Kippur and the kohen who was osik in the paraduma, mazanov kol shiva mikol chatosha hayusham divrei b'meir, for the 7 days of preparation. For the paraduma and for the kohen and for Yom Kippur, he has to be sprinkled with the ashes and the mixture of the paraduma from all the prior paradumas. So the question is, how often was he sprinkled on? Did they sprinkle on him? Says Rabbi Meir, every day. Meir says he was sprinkled. Mazan Allah, they sprinkled every single day of the week that he was there. He was sprinkled on. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. Ein mazan alav el shlishi v'shvi bovad. Rabbi Yossi says no. Only the 3rd and the 7th day of the week. We know Mida Oraisa, let's say somebody is Tamei Meis, he only needs sprinkling day 3 and day 7. So Rabbi Yossi's Svara basically is that whenever you start the Tara process, the only important days are day 3 and 7, even though the Tumah might have happened 3 days earlier. So this isn't the 3rd day from the Tumah, but says Rabbi Yossi, only day 3 and day 7, because whenever you start the process, that's all you need. So that's the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim Omer, Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim, with of second half of first parak of Psachim fame, Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim sugyas. Remember those last 10 watt fondly. Rabbi Skanakonim says you have a split. Kohen is a sort of zapar mazal of kol shiva. The Kohen before the paraduma he gets every day. Kohen gadol b'yom kippur he mazal of shlishi b'shvi. And the Kohen gadol before Yom Kippur only has day 3 and day 7. So it's a split. So my rab halkam mifugi. So what's the machlokas? Let's first talk about the first two opinions. We'll get back to Rabbi Chanina later. Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. The Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. The Kohen before he does the Paraduma. Is he sprinkled? Did they sprinkle on him all the 7 days? Or just day 3 and day 7? What's the machlokas about? So the Gemara is going to have a possibility and then have two rejections. My la ba kamiflagi. Let's say it's about the following. Rimeir savar tuma dechuya hibetzibur. Rabbi Yossi savar tuma hodru hibetzibur. So maybe it's about hodru dechuya, our case. Rabbi Meir who says tuma dechuya hibetzibur. And therefore, you have to go above and beyond and do whatever you can in terms of tahara, because the tum is there. So that's what Rabbi Meir says. You have to sprinkle every day. Because the tum is there, you have to take so many precautions. You have to take into account all shitos. So you have to sprinkle every day. Rabbi Yossi says, no, tumah hutra b'tzibur. Tumah hutra b'tzibur. Therefore, there's a lower standard of what kind of tahara you need. And therefore, day 3 and 7 are enough. That's the first possibility. Ask the Gemara, b'tizbara. Yisav Rabbi Yossi, heter hu b'tzibur, hazok lalamali. What do you mean? If you say that Rabbi Yossi says tumah hutra b'tzibur, so why do you need to be maz at all? It's tar. Tahara. So what do you need any sprinkling for? Tumah hutra b'tzibur. So you can't say that's the machlokas. So therefore, we have no raya for this brisa. But what is the machlokas? So the Gemara says, "El tekuli amahani tanoi savri tuma dechuya hibetzibur." But really, these tanoim, both of them hold tuma dechuya hibetzibur, and that's why you need sprinkling. But v'hacha b'akim afligi. So what's the machlokas about? As follows: Rabbi Meir savar amrin antila b'zmana mitzvah. Rabbi Meir says that Rabbi Meir holds that being tovel in the proper time, in the zman when you're supposed to go to the mikvah, is a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi Sabar Lomi and Tefillah B'zman HaMitzvah. You don't say Tefillah B'zman HaMitzvah. Rashi just adds in for us that we compare Hazaa to Tevila. We compare dunking in a mikvah to the sprinkling. Both of them are parts of the Tahara process. So Rabbi Yossi says that, let's start with Rameir. Rameir says Tefillah B'zmana and Hazaa B'zman is a mitzvah. So therefore, let's say this Kohen got Tamei Mace 3 days before we're separated him. 3 days before the 7 days. Then we have to sprinkle on him every single day, because we don't know which day is really day 3 and day 7 from when he became Tameh. So that's why we have to sprinkle every day, because who knows what day it is. That's why, because Hazav is mana mitzvah. Mashiach HaNetzar Rabbi Yossi, Tefillah B'zmana, and Hazav is mana is not a mitzvah. Whenever you do it, it's fine. That's why day 3 and day 7 are enough for the sprinkling. They don't have to sprinkle every day. So that's possibility number 2, what the machlokas is about. Ask the Gemara. The sub Rabbi Yossi Lomrin and Tefillah B'zman a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi does not hold Tefillah B'zman as a mitzvah. V'hatanya, we have a brisa that says that he does hold of it. Haresha Yashim Katsav Abbasaro. Let's say somebody colored, not a tattoo, because that's not going to come off, but let's say somebody colored on their arm one of the Shemos of Hashem. Says the Gemara, Harezel Yerchatz, you can't take a shower. Because you're going to erase the name of Hashem that's written on your skin. V'lo yasuf, you can't smear any oil on yourself. V'lo yamud v'vaka matinofis, and you can't even go to the bathroom, because you're going to be in a place where there or any makam matuna. You're going to be in a place where you're going to have Shem Hashem revealed in a makam matuna. So what do you do? What do you do? So we'll see in a second. Nizdamna lo tefillah shel mitzvah. What do you have a tefillah shel mitzvah that you have to go to the mikvah? So korech lav gemi v'tovel. So you wrap something around so to cover up the shem Hashem and to make sure it doesn't get rubbed out. And you go to the mikvah. You cover it up. Rabbi Yossi Omer, that's a Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yossi says no. Yored v'tovel kedarko. No, just go in the mikvah. Uvashli shafshef. You're not allowed to rub it. You're not allowed to scrub it. So that's a direct, but it'll be grum, it'll be indirect. Just go in, and if it happens, it happens. The kaimalan, and what's this machlokas about? Whether you have to cover it up when you go into the mikvah, or just go in and don't worry about it. So the Gemara explains, the kaimalan, we know that machlokas is about, dibit tefillah b'zman mitzvah kamiflagi, that it's about tefillah b'zman mitzvah. The Tanakama sover, lo amrin tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi sover, amrin tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Rashi here explains what's the connection. Rabbi Yossi said that tefillah b'zman is a mitzvah, and therefore if you make this guy look for a bandage or something to put on it, he might not find one. And then what? He's going to say, oh, yeah, I can't go in. I don't have the bandage. So because he's not going to find one, he can't go in. So he might not go that night. So Rabbi says, we can't do that. We can't make him look for it, because then he might not go at all. So Rabbi says, forget it, just go in. Mashiach, according to the Tanna Kamma, what's the worst thing that could happen? He won't go tonight? Fine. Tefillah B'zman is not a mitzvah. So that's what the machlokas is about. But what do you see? That Rabbi Yossi is the one that holds Tefillah B'zman a mitzvah. So it's a stira, because we just explained Rabbi Yossi beforehand, holds Tefillah B'zman is not a mitzvah. So stira. So Ella, we said fine. Go back to what we said. Tekuli amalani tanai amrina tefillah b'zmana mitzvah. Really, everybody holds tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah. So what's the machlokas? Whether you have to sprinkle every one of the 7 days or just day 3 and day 7. Rabbi Meir sover makshin and hazaa l'tefillah. Rabbi Meir says the machlokas is whether you compare hazaa to tefillah. Meaning everybody agrees that tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah, but what about the sprinkling? is that comparable to tefila or not? That's the machlokas. Rav Meir Sofer Machin Hazah L'Tefila, and therefore Hazah B'Zman is also a mitzvah, and therefore you have to sprinkle every day, because maybe every day is day 3 and day 7. Rav Yossi Sofer Lo Machin Hazah L'Tefila, therefore just pick your day 3 and day 7. Period. Tefila B'Zman a mitzvah is a huge discussion in the poskim. Tosfos here quotes a machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Hananel. What do we hold? Bismana zeh, generally, you might say on the surface, we never go to the mikvah bismana, because we treat all women as zava gedola. We're makpid on every tiny little stain, every tiny little tipas dam kachardol. So we don't go to the mikvah anyway. That's Rabbeinu Tam's raya, that we pass in tefillah bismana lav mitzvah, because we push off the tefillah so much, we drabanan, that it can't be tefillah bismana mitzvah. But many we pass in Shulchan Aruch that you're right regarding hilchos tumah v'tahara, we don't do it bismana. But regarding Isha Labayla, we do paskin tefillah bezmana mitzvah. And therefore, there is a special inyan for the woman to go to the mikvah the night she is supposed to go. The night it comes out, after the Shiva Nikiyam. No matter when it is, even if it's Friday night, we paskin tefillah bezmana mitzvah. She's supposed to try to make the arrangements to go to the mikvah. So that is lamaisa. We paskin tefillah bezmana mitzvah regarding being with her husband. The Shulchan Aruch talks about what if Baala ain't a Ba'ir. What if her husband's not home for some reason? Which, as I always say, should never come up. If the husband should make sure there's no business trips that night. He knows about it for at least a week before. So he has to arrange a schedule. But let's say it comes up. Let's say some emergency came up. The husband's not home. Is there still an idea of tefillah bezman mitzvah if the husband's not home? So that's where we paskin. She does not have to go to the mikvah that night because she's not going to be with her husband that night anyway. So tefillah bezman is not a mitzvah then. It's a good idea for her to go anyway. She could, so you don't want to run into problems before. So if she can go, she should go anyway. But that's the idea of tefillah bezman mitzvah. There is a Kabbalistic idea, the Shmos Yaakov quotes it, other Achronim, that maybe a woman should not go to the mikvah on a night when she's not going to be with her husband. Al Kabbalah, Sakana, the Shadim, and she should sleep with a knife under her pillow, and a baby in her bed, when the Shmos Yaakov quotes this. I heard a shiur from Rabbi Reisman, where he quotes this idea, and he says he thinks there's more of a Sakana to sleep with a knife under your pillow and a baby in your bed, more than against the Shadim. But anyway, so he, generally, we don't assume like this. We assume that whenever you can go to the mikvah, just go as soon as possible, and that's what we paskin me'ikr hadin. Okay, let's continue now. So we spoke about the first two opinions. Rabbi Meir, who says you go to the mikvah, you hazah every one of the 7 days, and Rabbi Yossi says just 3 and 7. What about the middle opinion? Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim, so Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim had a chilek. He said for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, day 3 and 7, for Paraduma every day. So imakish hazah l'tfilah, if he has the comparison of hazah and tfilah, filah koim Yom Kippur amnami. So even the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur, should require all 7. Ilo makish hazah l'tfilah, afilah koim hazah r'psapar nami lo, and if he's not makish, then nobody should need all 7. So what? How does he have the middle approach? So la'olam lo makish. Really, he has no. He does not compare. So really, all you should need is day 3 and 7. For koina, sorry, if it's a para mila ba'alma. But we have an extra chumrah by paraduma. Just have an extra chumrah. Remember, it connects to what we had all the way on that base because we're mitame. The one who was osek in the paraduma to go against the tzdukim. So to balance that, we have a lot of halachos where we go overboard in terms of the tara. So this also is part of that we have hazah. We sprinkle the ashes on the other paradumas every one of the 7 days as an extra chum. So ask the Gemara a few more lines. Kaman azah hadatana rabbanan. The following brisa, who is it according to? The following brisa says. Ain being Kohen as Rebbe Zapara, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. There is no difference between the Kohen who's Osek in the Paraduma and the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. Elash is Zephri Shasa Lakdusha, the Echav Kohenim Noganbo. This one, the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, is separated for Kedusha. He's going to be Osek in Kedusha. And other Kohenim are allowed to come up and talk to him and touch him. We're not Koshesh for any Tumah. The Zephri Shasa Latara. And the Paraduma. The Kohen who's also in the Paraduma, his precious is not Lektusha, but it's Latara for purity. The Einachav Kohenim Noganbo. We don't let anybody else touch him. Because again, we go overboard, we try to make sure he does not become Tame. Come on, who is that like? So we say, Ik Rebbe Meir, Ok Rebbe Yossi. It's like either Rebbe Meir or Rebbe Yossi. Deik Rebbe Chanin Skanakonim, because according to Rebbe Chanin Skanakonim, Ha Ikanami Ha. But according to Rabbi Chanina, this is another difference between them. Are you sprinkled all 7 days or just 3 and 7? So this brisa must not be according to Rabbi Chanina, Skan HaKohanim. Fine. Fourth line. Mask of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina Esakasha. According, remember we said there's one opinion, at least in the brisa, that says you have to sprinkle on this Kohen all 7 days. Just to be safe. Because you don't know when he became Tamei Meis, so you don't know what day is day 3 and day 7, which are the days of the Daraisa that you need to be sprinkled upon. You have to do it all every day. So said the Gemara, one second. Bishlamah Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. I'm sorry, Bishlamah Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Bishlamah Rishon. I understand day one, you have to sprinkle on him. Shema Shlishi. Because maybe that's the third day. Maybe he became tummy 2 days ago, and today is day three. Sheini Shema Shlishi. Same thing with the second day of the Prisha. Maybe he became tummy a day before the Prisha starts. This is the third day. Shlishi Shema Shlishi. The third day of Prisha, I understand why you have to sprinkle on him. Because maybe it's the third day of... maybe he became tummy right before you found him. Chamishi Shema Shvi. The fifth day, this might be the seventh day. Right? And the first day might have been the third day. And Shishi Shema Shvi. Shvi Shema Shvi. I mean, I understand why every day has to be sprinkled upon, because maybe it's day three or day seven of when he became tummy. But Ela Ravi, Lamali Hazal Klal. But what about day four? Why should you require sprinkling of the Paraduma on day four of the week? Why? Because this can't be day three, because he's been porish for 4 days. You know, for the past 4 days, he has become tame. This can't be day seven, because if it's day seven, so then day three, he never had hazan, because day three was before you started. And you need day three and day seven. You only can have a day seven if you have a day three sprinkled upon. So what do you have to sprinkle on him on day four? So says the Gemara, it can't be day three, and it can't be day seven. So Gemara asks back, well, the tameich, I'll ask you a better kasha. Hazal kol shivim mi'ika. So it says hazah all week, but what do you mean all week? V'akayim alon, we had a Maseches Pesachim, the hazah shvus v'inu dochas haShabbos. You're not allowed to sprinkle on Shabbos. It is a drabanan. The Gemara there says shema yavi renu dalamas. So you can't sprinkle anyway on Shabbos. It says all week. Elamayis lechalameimar. So what must you say? Shiva levar mishabbos. When it says a week, it means besides Shabbos. So chanami shiva levar mishvi revi. So when it says a week, it also means revi. It also means Wednesday, the fourth day. You're right, in Achinami, there is no sprinkling on the fourth day, and there's no sprinkling on Shabbos. Amar Rava, Hilkach, Rava says, because this is true, Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim, Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Zlo b'di don tal yamilsa, we don't decide when Yom Kippur is, Ela b'kviyat b'yarcha tal yamilsa, it's totally on the calendar, so then we have no choice. B'tzlasa b'tzlashei b'aylaf rushei, we have to separate him on the third day of Tishrei, remember we said, Menachem pointed out a couple days ago, on, right before, on the eighth day beforehand, it's the end of Rosh Hashanah, maybe, here it says the third day, Tzom Gedalia, but even beforehand, maybe, so it says, we have to separate him 7 days before, v'kol emes demisra mitzlasa b'tishrei mafrashinolei, we have to separate him 7 days before, and you know what, Rashi explains, it could be that we'll miss 2 days of sprinkling on him. Because there might be a Shabbos and there might be a day four of the seven. They might not be the same day. So therefore, what can you do? We don't have a choice. But it might end up that you miss 2 days of Hazah. But I'm a coin as service of Parah. But when it comes to Paraduma, Dibidi Don Talya Milsa, we decide when we're going to do the Paraduma. If we decide, then we're always going to make sure that we're not going to miss 2 days. So, we separate him on Wednesday so that the fourth day always comes up on Shabbos. So there's always an overlap between day four and Shabbos. He only missed 1 day of the sprinkling. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, if you do the math, I want to point out that you're going to miss another day as well. You going to ask that? Yeah. I asked some of the Rishonim, what about Ein Shvus Bamikdash? What about, you don't have to worry about this, Hazah. So the Gemara, they quote the Gemara Pesach, Shvus Krova Hitiru, Shvus Rechoka Lo Hitiru. There might be a Shvus Bamikdash if it's a Shvus Rechoka. If you're only doing it for an effect a couple days from now, and that's what you're doing here. You're trying to have an effect afterwards. So that might be the answer. Okay, let's continue. There's a little more to talk about, but we're going to continue. Lulishka Spalhedrin. Back to the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that we put the Kohen Gadol in this Lishka Spalhedrin before Yom Kippur. Lishka Spalhedrin means like the office of the officers. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Rechi Lishka Spalhedrin Hayah, what's it called? The office of the officers? V'halo Lishka Spalvati Hayah. It was the Lishka of the noblemen. The Ritva explains that what a Balvati is somehow a more chashuv level in the government than the Parhedrin. It was Lishkas Balvati. So what do you mean? It wasn't called Lishkas Parhedrin. So Gemara explains. El betchilo hayikaron asol Lishkas Balvati. It was originally called the Lishkas Balvati, the Lishka of the nobleman. Umitoch shenosrolav mamon lekuhuna. But after Shimon HaTzadik, during the second Beis HaMikdash, when all the Kohanim Gadolim were Rishayim, and they all got paid off to get the job, so therefore... they're not going to call this room the house of the nobleman anymore. And they switched this room. Every time, Rashi explains here, unbelievable. They all kept dying every year because they were all paid off. They all died when they did the avodah on the Yom Kippur. So therefore, every year there was a new Kohen Gadol. But every year, when they went into this office, they don't want to use the same office as last year's guy. So they have to redo it. So I asked somebody before, it's like the Oval Office. right? Every time a new president comes in, you have to read. I can't sit on the same table, the same desk and couch. So every president redoes the Oval Office. Same thing here. I'm going to use his? Come on. That's why everyone redid it. Everyone redid it. So therefore, so it's Kippar Hedjin, it's Halalu. It's like an officer. Shemachlib Rosam Kosh Nehmas HaKodesh. It's like officers of the king who get switched every year. That's why they call this the Lishkas Parhedrin. Because it's the, even though it was the, of the Kohen Gadol, but it got switched every year. That's why it got switched. This is the opposite, I would say. Right, what, look at what Rashi, right across. V'chol Kohen em schadish ba, so serosa, ubone binyin no'em in harishon. So, everyone has to be better than the earlier one. So there are those that interpret Rashi as, it's a good thing. Because, l'chorah, there's an Isser Daraisa breaking anything in the base of Migdash. There's an Isser. So some say that's why Rashi says better than the previous one. Because, you know, you're allowed to break it if it's to build it in a better way. That's one side of Rashi. But others say, the pashas of Rashi is that this is part of the negative. That they want to be better than the previous one. Right? This is the anti-Nesiyim Rashi. Remember last week's Parsha. Many of the Bali Musar say, what is Parsha's Naso doing there? The second half of Parsha's Naso. What do we have to have a repeat? Karbono, karos, kesav, achas, over and over and over and over. Just read it once and say, v'chein asu kol nasiyim. So the Bali Musar say, no, the point is that every Nasi went one after another, and every Nasi said to themselves, you know what? I don't have to be better than the previous one. I'm going to bring the same exact karbonas as the previous Nasi, and we all bring our own kavanas, we all bring our own mahus to it, but I can bring the same exact carbon, and we're all on the same, exactly equal level. It's mamish lahefech of this Rashi and this Gemara, that each Kohen Gadol had to be better than the previous one, and therefore they had to redo it. Also, another Musar Haskel. Every one of these Kohanim Gadolim saw that the previous one died, and they still didn't, because, and they obviously knew it was a Rashi, and it didn't prevent them from going in. Yeah, don't worry about me. It's mamish, they see it in front of their faces, this nace that happens, that he dies every year, and they still say, it's okay, I could do it. Amazing what the taiva for kavod, right? Redifas hakavod does to a person. It's probably, you can't see in front of your face.
Why is it
a taiva
for
kedusha?
For
it's a taiva for kedusha, but they daf in a but it's not. It wasn't. They wanted to be the Kohen Gadol so they could wear the begadim and everybody could look at them and say, "Ooh, the Kohen Gadol." It wasn't kedusha. Wasn't kedusha. Okay, tomorrow is shown. We continue tomorrow. We have a great. Every daf is great. I should not, as we said earlier, but tomorrow we learn all about the why the churban happened, the Gimel Averis and Aschinam. It's a daf of Agadah tomorrow. In Hashem, we will continue.